Can you hear me? I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken. Someday on the outstand, there my home shall be eternal. Beulah, sweet Beulah, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Some songs that we just don't sing very much anymore. We chalk it up to maybe out of date, or maybe sometimes we chalk it up to it's not in style no more, or maybe chalk it up to, well, I just don't like it, it's not my preference, whatever it may be. But I'm here today to tell you, I love the new modern music, don't get me wrong. Most of you, if you know me, I'm more into that than some of the older hymns and gospels. But sometimes I think we do ourselves a very bad disservice. And it's not just the kids under us won't know the songs or they won't know the words, but I think it's the reasoning, and there's a deeper understanding of why we sing those songs and why we used to sing those songs all the time. For instance, you may be asked, why is he dressed that way? It's because I did a message this morning, this message at Harvest Oaks this morning. Usually I don't like to do the same message twice, but I had another message that I was going to do. I was sharing with Pastor Larry. I'm glad I didn't send it to you so you can put all the notes up, because God said, I want you to do this one again. So maybe it's something we all need to hear. But I did a message titled Pilgrims. And so I wore my Pilgrims outfit the best way I could. Couldn't find a black top hat. Nobody had one of those. But
amen.
But when we talk about these songs, and these songs that talk about heaven, and these, and we start to sing a longing for a place that is not here, we don't hear much of that anymore. In fact, there's only one real modern song that became kind of famous that actually was sung on several different genres. Country music sang it, others sang it. I Can Only Imagine. Maybe y'all heard that song in the last few years. You know, I can only imagine what is happening in heaven. But there's not many songs nowadays sung about heaven. You go back 50 years ago or more, that's all there were. And I start to look at that, and I start doing some research, and I start to think about that. Why is that? And I think what has happened is what you start to see with the generations that are coming up after us. You can see it on TV. You can see the craziness that is going on in our world today. And you don't see a bunch of 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old people out there doing this crazy writing stuff on the news. Because they understand, most of them, if they're saved, this is not our home.
That's right.
This is not our home. And we're fighting for a home that's not ours. Well, when I look at the book of 1 and 2 Peter, and I look at the life of the Apostle Peter, do you realize Peter was one of the three inner circle of Jesus? Excuse me, I got the sinus stuff, so I got my bottle of water. I'll try to get through this, but He was one of the inner three of Jesus, one of the close confidants. In fact, one of the three that Jesus took up on the mountain to see him himself being transfigured in front of James and Peter and Paul. John and Peter. There were three of them up there, and he was one of them. And we know that he was the first pastor of the first church. He got to walk on water, which none of the other apostles did. This man did so much for the first church. And he was so instrumental in getting so much done that you would think if he, being the first pastor, is going to write a letter to all the churches, it would probably be the most important letter that we would have. And so I look at 1 and 2 Peter, these two letters that he wrote to the churches, and I look and I say, what is Peter trying to tell us? Because he doesn't write any other books. It's just these. And if he's just going to write these, what is he trying to get across to who, and what is he trying to say? Well, I think it's found in four different places in these two letters, and I'm just going to read them to you real quick, and then I'm going to come back and kind of talk about them, if that's okay. First one is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. He's describing who he's writing to. He's writing to a bunch of pilgrims. And when we think of pilgrims, we think of the first people to America that ate corn with a bunch of Indians, right? We picture this, and we don't picture much religious goings-on about pilgrims, except for other than they had a Thanksgiving service and they gave thanks to God, right? But I want to help you to see that the word pilgrim and everything in Scripture talking about pilgrim, and I'm going to give you a little history lesson because a lot of people, this has been taken out of their history books, so I'm going to put it back in if you don't mind. Because it's true and it's been found to be true. I'm going to give you a little civic lesson on what pilgrims were too. Okay? But he's writing to the pilgrims of the dispersion. When it says dispersion, that literally means they were dispersed. And they were dispersed to these different countries of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. They were dispersed to these towns, not by choice. They were being persecuted. And the church was being persecuted. Jesus had just risen from the dead. There's a big civil unrest going on in Rome. Rome's going to be overthrown. There's not only civil unrest, the church, the religious church of that time period, the Pharisees and Sadducees, there's chaos going on there trying to get a hand around this, what they think is a revolt of Christians, which they're really not. But there's this chaos going on in this land, and everybody is upset. Everybody's upset that their preferences and their way of life is changing right before their eyes. Does this sound familiar today in our political environment? Our environment is changing. Our preferences are changing. Our wants and our wishes and our comfort zones are changing, and it makes people uneasy. And it made people uneasy, and as a result, they attacked each other. And they came after the only thing that they found as weak as they could, and that would be the church, these Christians who wouldn't fight back. And so they persecuted them, and as a result, they dispersed into these other countries and these other towns. And Peter says, you know what, I've only got one shot here, and I'm writing two letters, but they both have the same theme. And he says, I'm going to write one thing, and I want to say it twice, and I want them to understand they are pilgrims passing through. They're dispersed because of the persecution, but I want to remind them this is not their home. It's not their home. The word pilgrim literally means, and you can look it up in Wikipedia, Oxford Dictionary, Cambridge Dictionary. We're talking worldly dictionaries. They all define pilgrim as the same thing. And it's not somebody wearing black and white with the cute little collars and all of that and standing next to the Native American Indians and eating corn and turkey and stuff like that at a Thanksgiving festival. None of them said anything like that. They all said the same definition of a pilgrim, and that is literally a traveler on a journey, usually a long way off, to a holy place.
Amen.
A pilgrim is a traveler on a long journey, a long way off, to find their holy land, their holy place. Now, remember that as we come back to that, okay? So Peter's writing to these Jews who are in Gentile lands now, and he's calling them, he's telling them, you're a pilgrim, and you need to be reminded that you're a pilgrim. This is not your land. You're a you're on a journey to a holy place, and you've not found it. It's not in Galatia. It's not in Cappadocia. It's not in Asia. It's not in Bithynia. It's not in Washington. It's not in New York. It's not in Dallas. It's not in Allen. Your holy land is not here. It's in a place called Beulah Land, and it's on the other side of eternity.
Amen.
That's your home. If you're a child of God, that's your home. And we used to sing songs that we long for home. And we don't do it no more. Why? Because we've become comfortable in garbage. We've become comfortable in America. We're nesting. We're trying to make America heaven. We're trying to make it this pretty place. And we're like, when a bad day happens, we go, what happened to heaven? Hello, come on, really? I'm the only one that believes that? When something goes bad and I go, what happened to heaven? Man, heaven was going so good.
Amen.
But here's the thing, I heard somebody say this the other day. This earth right here, for Christians, if you're saved, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this earth right here is the closest to hell as you'll ever get.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Think about that a minute. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this earth, as bad as it is with all the garbage and mess and the frustrations that you go on, if you don't know Jesus Christ, this is as close to heaven as it's going to get for you.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. This is not my home. Turn to somebody and say, this is not my home.
This is not my home.
All right, two of you believe it. We'll get there eventually. Here we go. So he's writing to the pilgrims caused by dispersion. We see over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, he says it again. Beloved, I beg you. You know, if a pastor says, I beg you, he's pretty confident about what he's talking about, that you really need to listen. He says, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. In that land that you live, where the Gentiles are, he's talking to the Jews that have been dispersed over there, that have trusted Christ as their Savior. They've been dispersed to these Gentile lands, Bithynia and Galatia and Pontus and all these others. He's saying, while you're in that Gentile land, which is not yours, by the way, let your conduct be honorable. It's not your home. You're a pilgrim. You're a sojourner, he says. So that when people speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. When Jesus comes back, they're going to look at Jesus and they're going to say, I recognize you. The reason why I recognize you is because I recognized it in those people that lived amongst me.
That's right.
They weren't my home. They weren't Americans. They weren't Christians. They weren't Dallasites or Allenites, whatever you want to call yourselves. They looked like you. And they're going to glorify Jesus because the way we act and the way we react in a country that is not our own, they're going to go, I recognize they're from your land. Anybody tracking where I'm going with this?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
When we look at the world today, we look at stuff. You don't think that this is our home. If you're a child of God and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you long for something better every day.
Amen.
Every single day you long for something better.
Amen.
Whether it's a better body, hello, whether it's a better job. You know, some days you may love your job, and then there's other days you're going, man, I wish I had a better one. Right? Maybe a better spouse, or you want to keep the same one, but you want him better or her better, right? You know, better kids. I love my kids, but sometimes I don't like them. You know where I'm going? We long for something better.
Right.
You don't think so? Go read the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is literally, there's one word that's repeated a dozen times or more in the book of Hebrews. It's the word better. And every single better reference is referring back to Jesus. He's a better high priest. He's a better father. He's a better priest. He's a better servant. I mean, it's all better, but it's all referring to something that is perfect, not something imperfect, getting perfect.
That's right.
America's not perfect. It never will be. So we need to quit trying to get all our, excuse my French here, get your big boy pants on and realize that USA and America is not your home. It's not perfect.
Amen.
If it is perfect, I don't know about you, I shouldn't be here. Because I'd ruin it. You know, it's like people say all the time, I don't want to go to church, there's a bunch of hypocrites. I was like, you are absolutely right. Do not join that church, though. You don't want to ruin it. We do all all the time. We think things have got to be perfect. And the reason why is our eyes are down here on this land instead of like we used to do, longing for Beulah land, looking to a home that is not our home. When our focus is on something else, greater and better than us and higher than us, and a home that's not even here, when our eyes and our focus is totally on that, it will help how we deal here.
Amen.
Every single day.
Amen.
Paul Peter goes on to say in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, he said, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which," talking about the first epistle and this one, both of them, "I want to stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before." He's saying, look, I already wrote you one letter and called you a bunch of pilgrims, and I said you're passing through. That land is not your own land, and for some reason I've got to remind you because I'm writing you another letter, and this is all I get is two. Paul gets to write most of it, and I only get two. So I'm going to tell you again, the most important thing I can tell you is this is not your home.
Amen.
I want to remind you of this. I want to stir it up inside of you so that you can know how to act. And then he ends in 2 Peter chapter 3. He ends in verse 11. He says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved." He talked about the heavens and the earth burning up and the end times and all that. He says, yes, all this is going to happen. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" He's wanting to stir up a meditation on it. He wants them to start thinking. Okay, if this is not your home, then how should you act when you're in somebody else's house? Oh, somebody hear what I'm saying.
Amen.
How should I act in somebody else's house?
Christian life. God.
When I was a kid, there were two things that would get me in really, 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 really bad trouble with Jerry Gibson. Most of y'all know him. Big man, I could get away with a lot of things, believe it or not, because he worked all the time. He's a workaholic. He's changed, and we've talked about it. We had counseling, name it. I'm just kidding. But one of the two things that he would get in trouble for, one is if you told a lie. My dad taught me to tell the truth no matter what. Second thing is, he said, you better respect everybody around you. Amen. And when you go to somebody's house, you better respect their house and respect their stuff.
Amen.
Well, I'm telling you what, I used to get in some trouble because I didn't do that. But I didn't do it for long. I would get the lesson pretty on. But I try to teach my kids the same thing. If they're going to go over to a friend's house, I'm telling them, Haley, she's 4 years old. She went over to friends the other day. And I said, Haley, you're going over to her house. Remember, they're her toys. Hello? They're her toys. And if she wants to play a certain game, you play that game because it's her house. You don't dictate who's in charge of the games because it's not your house. It's not your rules. You still don't get that, but anyway.
I don't either.
But don't we do the same thing here on the earth?
Yeah.
We act like this is all ours.
Yeah.
We act like this is all ours, and everything's going bad, and we're upset because something's happening to our home. This is not our home.
And we're just passing through.
That's what pilgrim is. We're just passing through. And he wants them to meditate on that question. If that's the case, how should I act? So here I'm going to give you a couple of things. First off, I want to tell you about a civic lesson about history real quick about these pilgrims. I'm going to put history back in the history book for you. Ready for this?
Yeah.
The pilgrims that came to this earth were not the first, or to America, were not the first ones in America, by the way. There was already some colonies that were already existed that were there by investors. They came here and said, you know what, there's better trading. We can have stop off between one country and another country. It could be like a stair step kind of thing. By the way, Christopher Columbus didn't discover it. It was a Viking that just, Leif Erikson, I believe is his name. I mean, there's so much stuff we don't know. But here's the thing. There were already some colonies there. We know because of the first Thanksgiving, being there were some Native Americans there, that there were already missionaries that had come to this country. Okay? But the first pilgrims that came came because they were persecuted by the Church of England. Under King James I, they came in search of a place to more freely practice their religious beliefs. They were in search of the Holy Land. One of the largest groups of pilgrims that came over, and one of the first ones, was a group led by a man named Edward Winslow and his wife Elizabeth, who with others provided the ship Mayflower. You heard of the ship Mayflower?
Yes.
Mayflower lands, it anchors on November 11th, 1621. It was carrying 102 passengers from this church that was leaving England being persecuted. 102 church members got together, saved their money, got on this boat, came to America, and first thing they got off the ship, they signed what's called the Mayflower Compact. You heard of that in your history? If you haven't, let me tell you real quick. The Mayflower Compact is what the United States Constitution was written after. It was based off of the Mayflower Compact. You know what the Mayflower Compact was? It was 102 church members that got off the boat and said, this is still not our home, but how should we act while we're here? Think about that just for a minute. Here is a bunch of Christians who come to a new country because they're being persecuted. They left one country being persecuted to go to another country to worship God with freedom and all that they want. And while they're there, the first thing they do is they say, we still are not home, guys. This is still not our home. Our home is in heaven, but we're in a new home, in a new place. How should we act while we're here?
Amen.
As pilgrims. And so they wrote up the Mayflower Compact. And as a result, later on, the Constitution came from that. It took them 3 months by sea to get there, and they landed and anchored there. They participated in the very first Thanksgiving. It was a three-day feast. Amen. It was 3 days of eating. Amen. Thanksgiving. That's kind of good stuff, right? Okay. Listen. And it was attended by 90 Native Americans. How many in the church? 102? I think two of them died on the trip over. 53 of them showed up for the Thanksgiving feast. So don't get frustrated when you have church and only half the church shows up for potluck. It happened at the first pilgrim meeting. The first Thanksgiving potluck, 100 people in the first church, 52 showed up for potluck that day.
Wow.
So it happened back then. It's always been there. All right. And there are two religious groups of this time period. There's the pilgrims and the Puritans. The pilgrims were people who said, we need to totally separate from the Church of England. They got all their religious beliefs and doctrine is incorrect. We need to totally separate from them and have freedom. The Puritans said, you know what? No, we know they're all wrong. Their doctrine is all wrong. But we need to stay connected to them. We just need to revive them. We need to reform the church. Stay a part of the church, but we just need to reform it. So there was the pilgrims and the Puritans. So now that you're starting to understand what pilgrims are, hopefully you'll get an idea when you start to study in school, or you start to hear something, or you start to see something, that pilgrims are not just people being thankful on Thanksgiving. These are religious people who are persecuted, left the persecution, they were dispersed to another country, and when they got to that country, they still said, this is still not our home. Yet we're pilgrims today, and we think this is our home. We blame it on those pilgrims, and we say, they left this persecuted church and they came here and this is our land now. Don't persecute me because this is my land now. Y'all persecuted us over there, but here in America, this is our land now and we want our freedoms to do this and we want our freedoms to do that. That's not what the pilgrims said when they got off the boat. When they got off the boat, they said, this is still not our home. We need an understanding of how we should act in a land that's still not our home.
Amen.
So hopefully today, when we look at what Peter really wanted us to understand, we'll understand what he was trying to tell us by reminding us twice in two letters that this is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through.
Amen.
He says, well, Paul even describes this. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said, brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have as us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now listen to this. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. Paul, who is a citizen of Rome, who also had joint citizenship, where he could go and he could be a citizen in this country and get the citizenship there. He did all these different things to be, do all things to all men so that he can win some. He did all these things. He is a man who says, I want to remind you, my citizenship is not in this country. My citizenship is in heaven. I am now a child of God, and that's my home. In fact, my king, you know, we need to pray for our presidents, whoever they are. We need to respect authority. We need to pray for them. We need to ask God to bless them and guide them and direct them. But my king, my leader is King Jesus.
Amen.
He's over no matter what president we like or dislike, no matter what. You were like, when Bush was elected, everybody's like, that's not my president. Then when Obama was elected, you know, that's not my president. Now Trump's president, that's not my president. You know, wow, do you not have a president? Guess what? You do. You just don't realize it. Try to go do something wrong and see if that president that's not your president lets you off the hook because he's not your president. It ain't going to work.
Amen.
Hello? Right?
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So Paul reminds the church at Philippi, our citizenship is in heaven. Once you trust Christ as your Savior, you got a new home. You got a new king. All right?
Amen.
Listen to this. Let's go on. So if we are pilgrims, not of this world, in search of the Holy Land, how should we act? Peter says it once in 1 Peter and once in 2 Peter. And I'm going to share those with you. Let's look at 2 Peter first. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Listen to what he says. Chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons are you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Here's what he says. Twice he says the phrase, look for. Verse 12, he says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. You know what he says? Here's how you should act in a country that is not your own. You should look for and long for that country to burn up. That's what he says. You're like, well, that's pretty harsh there, Pastor Jay. That's pretty harsh. No, it's a mindset. It's a mindset. Are you okay? Are you okay if your house burned up today? Would you be okay?
No.
Eventually.
You see where I'm going with that, right?
Yeah,
we'd be upset because we're losing stuff or whatever it may be, or security or something like that. But we got to be very careful of how we make that into an idol.
Yeah.
We make this country into an idol. We see stuff happening on the news and fires and riots, and we're like, oh man, what's happening to heaven? What's happening to our great country? This is not my country. I'm a citizen here. I love this country. Don't get me wrong. Don't leave here and say, Pastor Jay hates America. I love America. We got the greatest country in the whole wide world. I believe we've got the most beautiful land in the whole wide world. I think we've got the most freedom of any country in the whole wide world. But I'm here today to tell you, because I'm a child of the mighty God King, Lord Jesus, this is not my home. I'm just passing through.
Amen.
And I need to be reminded of that every day. And Peter thought it's so important that the only letter he wrote, two of them, he says the same thing. You're just passing through. Don't you forget.
Mm-hmm.
It will help you deal with whatever comes in this life.
Mm-hmm.
He says, first off, we should look for and long for this world to go away. And you know why he's saying you got to look and long for this world to go away? Because your home can't come here until this one goes away.
Amen.
That's what he says on the next verse. What's this? Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. He says, I'm looking for and longing for this home where I'm not going to have any more tears, pain, frustrations, sickness, anything. He's just like, you know, I'm looking and I'm longing for that new home.
Yeah.
But I can't look and long for that until I look and long for this one to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So when you stress out and you go, man, I see the end times are happening. Man, look at this. It's, the dominoes are setting up, ready to fall at any minute. The Antichrist is fixing to step up and all of this. Our eyes are focused on here and the worries of what's going on, and we're worried about the Antichrist and what's going to happen and the persecution that's going to come on Christians. Whoa, I think Christians need to be a little more persecuted. We're too comfortable in our garbage right now. But anyway, look what's just happened. Our eyes are on the Antichrist, but our eyes, the Bible says, when that happens, our eyes need to be drawn upward to look to our salvation that draws nigh to us. It should move us to focus us. No wonder God allows bad stuff to happen to America all the time, because our eyes are focused on this instead of on Him.
That's right. That's right.
This is not my home. Turn to somebody and say, this is not my home.
This is not my home.
All right. We told you two things. You ready for this? Now look back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 17. Here's the other four things that we need to do and how we should act in a land that is not ours. Starting with verse 11, chapter 2. He says, remember, 1 Peter, help. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you, as pilgrims, as sojourners, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The third thing that we need to do is you need to avoid, while you're in a country, in a land that is not your own home, which means they don't have the same rules you have. They don't live the same way you live. Hello, come on, somebody hear me. They don't live like you live.
Amen.
We get so upset with lost people who act like lost people. Why do we get upset with lost people who act lost? We're going, you're not supposed to act lost, you're supposed to act saved. It don't make sense. Why do we get upset with a bunch of knuckleheads who don't know how to not be knuckleheads? Really? That's what we do, don't we?
Yes.
But we should be saying is, we should be looking inside the house of God, as what the Bible says. We should be judging from within, not from without.
Amen.
And we should be going, why aren't we as God's children acting better?
Right.
Why aren't we shining the light that when our light so shines before men, they will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven?
Amen.
That's what we need to be doing. We need to be doing good works. So how do we do that? Long for this place to go. Long for the new heaven to come. You know what Jesus said? I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm banking my eternity that there's a better home than this.
Amen.
And I'm banking it on my Savior who told me through Scripture, through when he was here on the earth, that this is not my home, and he's going to prepare a better one for me.
Amen.
A mansion.
Amen.
And then the third thing we need to do is, while we're in that country that's not ours, we need to avoid the things that are going to war against your soul. Because they don't act like you. They don't think like you. The world doesn't. Once you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. The fullness of God, as Ephesians says, and Mark did a great job explaining a while ago, we are way under potential with what we are doing with the power of the Holy God that's inside of us. We are not letting that light shine like it should. As things get darker and darker in America, the light of Jesus Christ should be getting brighter and brighter and brighter out there.
Amen.
We should be going, you know what, guys, look, it's miserable out there, but guess what? Let me tell you about some hope that I have.
That's right.
Let me tell you about some peace that I've got. You may be looking at the news and can't sleep at night. I sleep like a baby because this is not my home.
Amen. Lord. Amen.
But you need to be careful, because living in another country, the things of that country are going to war against your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not your country. The fourth thing is found in verse 12. It says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. I love this. Peter writes and he says, look guys, you're the Jews that have trusted Christ, and you're living in Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Bithynia. You're living in all these Gentile countries. You know what? While you're living in those Gentile countries, let your life be honorable among them. Live a life that honors the country that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be living a life that honors America. So when people from other countries look at America, they go, wow, we love America. No, they don't. They love what they see in America. And if most of America is Christian, what they're really seeing is they love Jesus and they don't even know it.
Amen.
That's what it says. It says when Jesus comes back, they will glorify him based off of what they saw in you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Not only do we need to make our conduct honorable to those whose home it is, the one that's the hardest, I think, for most Christians today, especially here in America, where we have all this freedom and we get our preferences and, oh, I can offend your right so that I can have a right. Which is funny if you think about that. You know, you don't have the right to do that, but it infringes my right. If it infringes my right, then it's going to infringe your right. You know, we're all fighting for our rights, you know. Guess what? Two people can't have a little car in Monopoly. Think about it. I have the right to have the car in Monopoly. I want the little game piece when I play that game. I want that. It's my turn. How's that going to work for you, Skippy? Are you bigger than the person you're playing? You can take it away from them, right? I'm starting to meddle a little bit now, right? But here's the hardest thing that we have to do. While you're in a home, in a country that's not your own, verses 13 through 16, he says, therefore, tighten up, here it comes, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, by the way, that would be president for here, or to governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God.
Amen.
You may sit all day and be disrespectful to your president, but you're going to have to answer to your king.
That's right.
Because everything I read in Scripture, whether you liked Bush or you liked Obama or you didn't like Bush or you didn't like Obama or you do like Trump or you like Clinton, whatever, irrelevant. I did not vote for a president. I'm not voting for a pastor. I was voting for a president. But I didn't vote just for a president. I put my vote in King Jesus. He's my king.
Amen. Amen.
But we need to submit to authority because it's God's will, and he says.
That's right.
The only time we don't submit to authority is when it goes against Scripture. Mm-hmm. If it goes against Scripture, then you have to stick with Scripture. You have to stick with what the Lord has told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
We should long for this world to go away. We should long for the world to come, the new world, new heaven to come. Avoid things that war against your soul, because remember, you're in a country that's not your own. Make your conduct honorable to those whose home it is. Submit to authority. And then verse 17, listen to what he says. Lastly, honor all people. Now I love the New King James because it'll italicize words that are really added to make more sense. So really the word people was not in there in the original letter, which means it says honor all. That's everything. Honor the earth, honor pets, animals, honor people, everything. Honor all. Honor all. Love the brotherhood. Respect God and honor the king.
Amen.
Now here's a funny thing. You'd think you would understand that, right? You would understand, yeah, that's things I got to do. Yeah, I understand that. But he's reminding these Jews who trusted Christ the Savior that were dispersed into these Gentile lands because of persecution. He reminded them, while you're there, honor people.
Amen.
Respect people. Love people. You may not agree with a particular person or a particular person's stance, but you can still love them and respect them.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Absolutely.
You ready for this? You know why? Because they have a soul just like you.
That's right.
And Jesus died for that soul just like you.
That's right.
And Jesus doesn't see Republican and Democrat.
No.
God the Father just sees if you have the blood of Jesus on you or not. That's all he sees.
That's right. Amen.
So honor all. Respect them, one, because you're in their house. And remember that. That's the way I deal with this world. I'm like, they want to mess it up. This is their house. I'm going to pray for them. I'm not going to mess it up. I'm going to respect this house while I'm in it because I'm just a pilgrim passing through. This is not my home. It's like one of the elders at our church, Bill, told on him this morning at church. He has three rules. I found out today he has four rules. You come to his house, you can do anything you want in his house. You can eat out of his pantry if you want. You can drink out of his refrigerator if you want. He said, you can do anything you want in my house. He said, I got a swimming pool out there. You can go at any time of the night. You can go swimming with clothes or without. That's your business. But it's my house. You can do what you want, right? That was a joke, though. You didn't catch that. But he says, I got four rules. He said three rules, but they told me today he added one. First rule, he says, my chair. Second rule, my TV. Third rule, my remote. And I heard that he added the fourth one. His wife told me today. The fourth one is if he goes to sleep, don't poke the bear. So when I go to his house, guess what I do? I don't sit in his chair. I don't mess with his TV. I don't mess with his remote. I've never seen him sleep yet, so now I know not to poke the bear. I'll remember that. But I've been over to his house before, watched TV, watched fights, different other things he's invited me over to watch, do different things. But every once in a while he likes musicals. He likes High School Glee and all that. And I'm like, I think Ashley's calling. Got to go home. But I don't change it. Why? Because I'm in his house. I respect his house and his rules.
Amen.
I may not agree with him. I may not like him. But I can honor him by the way I live in his country, in his land. Mm-hmm. Guys, this is not our home. Mm-hmm. We can love this country. We can honor this country. We can respect people in this country. We need to remember our citizenship's in heaven. Mm-hmm. We're pilgrims passing through to get to a holy land, a place where there's no tears, no pain, no frustrations. Everything is better there.
Amen.
We're just passing through. Mm-hmm. Problem is, it's a long-term problem, is we've become pilgrims way too long. Mm-hmm. The Apostle John got to see something nobody else ever did, and he wrote the book of Revelations by it. God opened back the curtains of heaven and let him see into the future. And he had to describe it in terms that only he could describe. And he didn't do a very good job because he didn't know what he was looking at, like helicopters that were shooting out missiles out of it. He called them locusts with fire from the backside and stuff like that. You know, he saw stuff and he didn't know how to describe it other than the terms he had. But here he is. He gets down to the very end of his book, and you know what he says? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
He got to see everything that's going to happen on this earth. The Antichrist, the leadership, who was going to fall, who was going to rise. He saw it all. And he got to the end of it, instead of saying, okay, God, give us the resources we need to deal with this, to deal with that, to deal with this. Give me the ability, give me the strength, give me the self-control, the patience, the goodness, the kindness. Give me the fruits of the Spirit. So when we get to that point, let me deal with it. No, what he said was, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because on the other side of that is a place called Beulah Land. On the other side of that is a land of milk and honey. And I'm not talking Palestine. I'm talking streets of gold. I'm talking streets that have no names. I'm talking heaven where God's glory and his presence is. I'm talking peace beyond understanding. If you talk to anybody that's gone over there right now and you say, you want to come back? You want to come back and be with your family? You know what they would tell you? You are loco. I am not going back down to that earth. I'm not going back down to that mess. I am staying up here. The problem is twofold. One, we are too comfortable being a pilgrim in a bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
We've grown comfortable. We've become citizens of this land. That's what's happened. Go look at it. That's what we're all fighting over, isn't it? Our citizenship here. I don't want this president. I want the country going this way. I don't want the country going. You're fighting over citizenship of a land that's not yours.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all of, yes, we need biblical, moral, doctrine, direction for our country. Absolutely. But this is not my home. You need to be reminded of that. The other problem is not just that we've grown comfortable being pilgrims here long-term-wise, but we're nesting here. We're setting up camp because this is our home. And it's just, we feel like we have found our holy land and we fall in love with it and we begin to nest and make it better, more comfortable, and we forget. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world.
That's right.
Live like Christ in a dying world. Live like an alive Savior in a dying world. Let your light shine in a dark place. Don't become dark like them. What happens when bad stuff happens? All the time we start to turn the lights down. We're so thankful our lights aren't dimmers, amen? We can just turn them down slowly, a little bit slower. Oh, it's getting dark, it's getting dark, it's getting darker, it's getting darker. You know, we do that in life, but we don't realize the light is still as bright as it's ever been.
Yeah.
We just got these false dimmers on our mental capacity, and we turn them down. It's getting darker, it's getting darker. And Jesus is like, really, I'm sitting here on the porch. It's pretty bright where I'm at. Do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the will of God. And that's why Peter says in chapter 3, why it's so important, 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, Beloved, I now write to you another epistle, in both of these of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of these words. This is not our home.
Amen.
We're just passing through.
Amen.
We need to be reminded. Hopefully that's given you some peace today, and hopefully it's reminded you we're living in, whether it's Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Bithynia, maybe it's Dallas, maybe it's Garland, maybe it's Allen, wherever you may be, you're still a pilgrim.
Amen.
Let your light shine. Live honorably in that land.
Amen.
Honor the king. Respect the authorities. Long for this land to go, like John. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And then long for Beulah land to come, the new heavens and new earth. Father God, we come before your throne. We thank you so much for this reminder for all of us. Thank you for showing us that, yes, this is not our home, but yet we still have to be in the world, but not of the world. That we still have to live a life that is honorable to you and to honor our parents and to honor the king, even though we may not agree with them and we may not like them or her or whoever it may be. Father God, help us to start showing respect for other people, and to shine our light in such a way that when Jesus comes back, they look at Jesus and they glorify him by saying, I recognize you. I recognized it in the way your kids acted when they were in this country that wasn't their own. May people see you in us and all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We ask our musicians to come up to perform.